Good to be with you here again this morning. Now, I asked you last week to think, if you could, to think some kind of definition of meek. We're coming up with this one, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. How do you define meek? I've called this the power to be meek. Sounds like an oxymoron to talk about the power to be meek, doesn't it? I mean, if you think about it, go into a room and there's a whole lot of people in there, all standing around talking or sitting down or whatever else they're doing, and you look around and you say, that person is a meek person. Leslie's quite right when he said at the beginning, meek is not weak, but we tend to focus on that. Even though we know meek is not weak, we tend to say the person who sits in the corner, who doesn't want to make any waves, who doesn't want to push themselves forward or whatever, that must be a person who is meek. Are they? Or is meek something better than that, something more than that? Look, we've been going through these. We've been talking about blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we talked about that as being somebody who is humbly aware of their failures, humbly aware of their undeserving before God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It follows on logically. If I'm aware of my unworthiness, if I'm aware that a great deal about my life does not match up to what I ought to be as a Christian, then I mourn it. Then I'm saddened that I can't get my act together properly as God will want me. So blessed are they that mourn. So now we're on to the third one. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What I'm going to say to you is that the first two are to do with spirituality. Poor in spirit and mourn. I can be a little island of spirituality and be poor in spirit and mourn my sin and mourn the things that are failure. I can't be meek and be a little island. Because to be meek is in relationship to God and is in relationship to other people. So it takes it beyond simply my own spirituality, which is important when we come to talking about Jesus being meek. He didn't need the first two. He didn't need to be poor in spirit. He had no sin. He didn't need to mourn his sin. He had no sin. But he was meek. So we're getting to that particular point now. And I said last week, remember three principles. The first of them is, in any of these Beatitudes, that applies to all of us. Every one of you here this morning ought to be at least striving to have those characteristics, spiritual characteristics in your life. To be poor in spirit, to mourn your sin, to be meek. It's all of us. Not that one, that one. It's not somebody who's special. It's not somebody who has a particular position in the church or anything. All of us, everybody who names the name of Jesus Christ, is to be those things, or at least try to be those things. Second one I had was that none of these is a natural tendency. It doesn't come naturally to be poor in spirit. It's not natural for me to get up in the morning and think, oh, be all humble and so on. I'd much rather be able to go out the door and somebody say, yeah, there he is. We know him, we like him, great guy. No, to be humble is not natural to us. To mourn our sin is not natural to us. We'd much rather be positive. The world tells us to be positive, not to be negative. And the third one is that these characteristics, these spiritual characteristics, are describing a big difference, a difference between the way of the secular world and the way of the Christian. There is a gulf between us. They don't value the things that we have in terms of the Beatitudes. They might value the moral system of the Christianity. They might look at Christianity. They might even say, oh, Jesus was a great man back in history. All sorts of things they can say positively about Christianity. But the Beatitudes, no. It's a nonsense to talk about being poor in spirit, to mourn for your sin. And especially, it's a nonsense to think about being meek. So there we've got them. Poor in spirit. It's a logical, poor in spirit, aware of our unworthiness and sin. Those who mourn, hearts that have sorrow for our unworthiness, and the meek in relationship to God and people while we're aware of our unworthiness. You see, when we understand that one, that this third one, the meek, applies to our relationship with God and applies to one another, to other people, then we see how it links in with the gospel. A meek person is somebody who is in a reflection of what he has. God has been gracious to me. How am I to others? Am I gracious? Do I always seek to be gracious towards others? God has been forgiving to me. Do I forgive readily? Or do I hold grudges? All of those things, you see, these characteristics. God has loved me with an everlasting love, the Bible says. Do I really love him and love others as I have been loved? It is a characteristic of a meek person that they are reflecting what they have in the gospel. I'll give you an example. Supposing I get up in the morning and I have a prayer time with God, and boy, I am poor in spirit. You have never seen anybody quite as poor in spirit as I was on that morning. And boy, am I mourning my sin. I know how unworthy I am, so I'm mourning my sin. You've never seen anybody quite as good at it as I was on that morning. Then I go out of there and somebody says something very negative about me, which indicates that they think I'm an unworthy bloke. What do? I want a job and one, right? I'm not going to accept that. So I might be poor in spirit. I might grieve, I might be mourning, but I'm certainly not meek. We need all of them. That's our relationship with one another and with God. So sometimes to try to define it, sometimes it's easier to define what it's not. It's not weakness. A meek person is not the person who sits in the corner and doesn't say boo to anybody. That's not meek. It's not weak. There's an inner strength, there is a discipline to being a meek person. It's not a person who is dependent. It's not a person who compromises. It's not a person who is easygoing and spineless. There's a strength to being meek. I tried to look up, trying to think, this is a hard word. This is a difficult one to define. So I looked up in French. In French, they use the word doux, which means soft, sweet, kind, gentle. Okay, that doesn't help us much either. People in the Bible have tried to define it, have translated it in various terms as gentle, humble, sensitive, patient, caring, approachable, not resentful, not being sorry for self, not grudging, not demanding your rights. Well, I mean, that all adds up quite nicely, doesn't it? It's the opposite of the wrath of man. The worldly view, that third principle, the world is different from us, says you need to, in this world, if you're going to get anywhere, you've got to be assertive, right? Don't let anybody walk over the top of you. You've got to be assertive. You've got to not have advantage taken of you. The idea of being humble and considerate is ridiculous. Meekness is for weaklings. As far as the world is concerned, only the tough will survive. A while back I came across a definition of it. Meekness is a true view of myself, expressing itself in my attitudes and conduct towards God and man. Well, that covers it. So I thought I had that one covered. And then Jan and I were doing our devotions a few days ago, and we're going through this book day by day with John Calvin. Let me say right up front, I do not recommend it. If you get hold of that book, it's in ancient English, and John Calvin could never, ever use 5 words when he could use 50. And very complex English as well. So there have been times when Jan have been right, while I've been reading through this little devotion for the morning. Huh? What was that? Read it again. What exactly is he saying? But anyway, he did a few mornings ago. He came up with a very, very good definition of meekness. He said, a heart imbued with a humble opinion of yourself and respect for others. That's pretty good, isn't it? That covers it. A heart imbued with a humble opinion of yourself and respect for others. It's a framework of my sin and being grieved for it, so I'm meek towards God, and I'm submitted and patiently sensitive towards others. When wronged, I don't retaliate. I have a true view of myself. I'm amazed at the grace of God and that anybody might have a good opinion of me. Now, ladies, I'm just going to subvert some of the things you've always said when you women get together and talk about men. usually say about men, they're insensitive and they don't talk about the kind of things that are sensitivity stuff, you know? Well, I'll tell you that's wrong. Because I've heard men talk about, husbands talking about, I really don't deserve my wife. I say, that's pretty good, huh? You like that one? I really don't deserve my wife. She's really good to me. I'm not deserving of it. I've also heard men talk about it in a discussion about what does it mean to love yourself? You know, when the Bible says, I love your neighbour as yourself, what does that mean? That's a fairly bit of a sensitivity issue, isn't it? To care about oneself, to be meek and have a true view of self and not a false view, not to be opinionated, all those sort of things. So even men talk about those sort of issues. Let's have a look at the Bible characters. Who's meek? In the Bible? Jesus. Jesus is the meek one. He had no sin. He had no need to be poor in spirit. He had no reason to be grievous about his sin. But he was meek. He suffered the humiliation of becoming a man. It's almost a bit hard for us to grasp hold of what that is. For the Son of God from the heavenly places at the right hand of his Father to come to this earth, to be a man, to be born in the circumstances in which he was born, to live the life in which he lived. That was the ultimate humiliation. He shared our suffering and our temptation. He was approachable. He wasn't weak. When he was reviled, he didn't retaliate. There was power with his gentleness. Yes, when he was reviled, he didn't retaliate. But would you ever look at Jesus, if you met Jesus today, would you ever say there's a weak man? There's a pathetic man? No. There was power. There was power in that man. He was submitted to his Father's will in a purposeful way. He knew where he was going. He knew what he was doing. And he was a meek man. What about Paul? I chose that Bible reading from 2 Corinthians because there's Paul talking about, look, we didn't do anything. We did everything in our power to make sure you understood the gospel. But boy, did we suffer for it. And he talks about the things that they endured, the physical suffering in particular, but also more than that. They were dishonored. They were bandied around as being of ill repute. They were treated as impostors. And through all of that, they dealt with it with tolerance, forbearance, kindness, love. He says, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Having nothing, yet possessing all. Hey, there's a good definition, folks. There's what it is to be meek in the midst of troubles and difficulties. So the three principles. All Christians are to be like this? Yes. It's a true view of self, to be overwhelmed by the grace of God and to be saving you and guiding you by the Holy Spirit. That makes you meek towards God and towards others. It's not natural. It's not natural that we should be meek. We're much better at being angry. We're much better at being cross. We're much better at bearing grudges. We're much better at stewing over about all the offences that have been caused to us rather than being meek in the way in which Paul described or in the way in which Jesus was. I've sometimes wondered, you know, when I'm going to have those moments of doing a little bit of thinking, if everybody in the Christian church had, to a great degree, the signs of meekness, what would it be like? I suggest the church, rather than being a powerful body, a body which impressed the world, I'd suggest that probably the church would be a much more effective witness in the world if all of its people understood meekness and were meek in themselves. What a truly and actively meek would be wonderful. And then, of course, there's that great contrast between the Christian and the non-Christian. The world says, be assertive. The world says, toughness. The meek shall be ignored and walked over. Christianity in meekness. Now, the last phrase, shall inherit the earth. What do we mean by that? It's like though it's taking us back to the very beginning, where mankind walked with God and talked with God and understood God. Finally, we are due to go to a new heavens and a new earth. That is part of our inheritance. That is what God gives us through Jesus Christ. And that's what Psalm 37 was talking about. Look, don't envy the arrogant and their achievements. They pass on. They have a brief taste of good things, and then they're no more. Don't be envious of them. You've got much more. You've got an eternal relationship with God. While you have nothing by right, you have everything by God's grace. That's what it is to be a Christian. And Psalm 37 goes on to say, you will dwell in the land and enjoy security. That's our future. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. So that's what we do. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. You can't be meek and do those two things. And finally, verse 11, but the meek shall possess the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. That's what Jesus was meaning. That's what the psalmist, way hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus, understood. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Somebody said self-renunciation is the way to world dominion. I'm not sure I quite like the word world dominion, but I think if you take it as the goal is not the dominion of the world, is not to control the world, the goal of that is to renounce self, then I think we understand what it's talking about. We've probably got it pretty right. Let's pray. Father, we know it's hard to talk about a single word and to focus on a single word, particularly as it's a word which is not much in our vocabulary. We don't talk much about being meek in our day-to-day living. We don't think much about being meek ourselves in our behaviours. Well, probably we need forgiveness for a lot of that. Our failure to be what you want us to be. Our failure to show the world that to be a Christian is to have a powerful faith, but one which makes us humble, to acknowledge our deserving of nothing, to acknowledge God's grace, God's love, his mercy, for his forgiveness, and to pass it along to everybody else. So bless us, we pray. Help us to be meek, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.